Chapter 45. When Sarah knocked on the Gutierrez door, Sarita answered, electric swirling lollipop drilling into her teeth. She stood there, mouth buzzing, staring over the chain. Sarah showed her the badge. May I come in? The girl closed and unlatched the door, opened it, and returned to her place in front of the color console as if she hadn't a care in the world. Is your sister in? Sarah asked. A shrug, without looking. Hello? Sarah sung. There was no answer. She went down the hall to the closed bedroom doorway and knocked on Christina Aguilar's taut midriff. She felt, rather than heard, a subtle bass line and figured Lupe was plugged in. She tried the door. Unlocked. She swung it open. Sure enough, Lupe was seated cross-legged on the bed, back to the door, big pair of earphones clamping down on her glossy black hair, bouncing slightly to the bass, surrounded by CDs. Insane Clown Posse, said one of the booklets. Sarah moved into the girl's line of sight. Lupe lurched once, as if zapped, and whipped off the headphones. What are you doing here? You know the Romeros are in the lobby. I know. Where's your mother? How should I know? Sarah snagged a folding chair, the only piece of sitting furniture in the room, and sat on it backwards, arms on top of the back. Only reason I'm here, girlfriend, is to see if you're okay. I understand why you don't want to run into any Romeros right now. I hope you're happy with him, cause he dump you in a New York minute. I told you, Jorge is not my boyfriend. You're young. You're very pretty, smart as a whip, and you have special abilities. The whole world is yours, Lupe, if you'll give it a chance. Here it comes, the girl sneered. Stay in school, don't be a fool. Sarah stared at her, unblinking. The girl fidgeted, shuffled CDs. How you get that power? Excuse me? You a for real witch. I saw you fall from that crane. All of a sudden, your whole body zipped up tight in some kinda armor. Then you bounced. How did you do that? How did you get to be a witch? I'm not a witch. Lupe looked bemused. Hokey. I see where you going. What are you then, a mutant? Sarah gave a tight little smile and held up her right hand. The costume bracelet dangled. See this bracelet? I found it one day, or more accurately, if found me. It's not department issue and I can't get rid of it. It warns me of danger, protects me when I'm in trouble, takes care of me after a fashion in exchange for letting it live on my arm. I don't know if it's alive or magic or some kind of alien super high tech. It seems to have a mind of its own. It's scary sometimes, but I seem to be stuck with it. Huh? Lupe's mouth hung open, confusion on her face. Sarah glanced at the pile of comics in the corner. Here was an explanation this girl could accept. You read comics? Yeah. My favorite is X-Men, and my favorite X-Man is Storm. Halle Berry played her in the movies. Well, I guess I'm sort of like Storm. Just a special girl with some special gifts. Just like you. I try to find ways to use my abilities to help people. Tell you what, girlfriend. Let's you and me get together later in the week and we can talk some more. Maybe I'll give you some pointers. Lupe nodded. That be okay. Sorry I pulled that stuff. You mean trying to get me raped and killed, Sarah thought to herself. Forget it. You help me, I'll help you. How can I help you? You remember that little seance we had here the other day? I remember you coming, I don't remember what happened. You were possessed. It's okay. He's not coming back. Not here, at least. See, I dig the way you do that. Maybe we can trade secrets. Lupe shrugged. I don't know how I do it. That's all right. We'll figure it out. Sarah let herself out. The party was still going on in the lobby, so she took the stairs 4 flights up to her unit. The air conditioner was going full blast in her bedroom. She went inside, shut the door, and phoned Leisha Bachman in Newton. The woman answered on the first ring. Miss Bachman, it's Detective Pezzini. Have you caught my father's murderer? Not yet. But I expect something to break soon. There have been several promising developments. I heard somewhere that if you don't catch a killer in the first 24 hours, the odds against catching him increase astronomically. Well, those are the statistics, but every case is different. Well, who do you suspect? I can't tell you that. Then why did you call? Sarah could sense Bachman's anger and impatience, although she'd kept her voice neutral. Why did she call? Out of guilt, perhaps, for initially leaving Bachman out of the loop? Out of genuine concern? To cover her ass? I'm calling to tell you that I'm confident we're going to find the person who did this. Well, I appreciate that. The next time you call, I hope you have better news. Click. I deserve that, she thought. Before she could set the phone down, it rang. Sarah, it's David. He sounded breathless. Her heart did a stutter step and dove for daylight. Hello, I was just thinking about you. Yeah, well, about tonight. For one awful second she thought he was going to cancel. Her brain turned into a strobing file search as she sought the reason why. Came on too strong? Another girlfriend? Not ready to commit to a serious relationship? Freaked out she was a cop? Yes, Sarah inquired, slightly dreading his possible response. Is it all right if I meet you at the party? I'm really sorry, but I'm working on a rush job that has to get done, and I still have a little ways to go. It's going to take me right up to party time. So I thought I'd just meet you there, and we'd take it from there. Her heart performed a complex series of aerial maneuvers. What kind of job do you have to do on a Sunday night? She could hear the grin through the phone. Alulu, I'll tell you all about it. Tell me what you're going to wear so I can wear something complimentary. Dreamboat, she thought. Emerald sleeveless dress, one over-the-shoulder strap, and matching heels. And a jade necklace. You look beautiful already. The other women will hate you. She sighed theatrically. That's the burden I have to bear. Okay. I should be there by 7:30. Love you. Her apprehension gone, Sarah let the receiver float back into the cradle while she floated into the bathroom. Pause. She'd planned taking the bike to Manhattan and stashing it at David's place. That was now out. The journey by bus and subway would take at least an hour, and she did not relish doing it in her little green dress. On the other hand, if she threw on black leather jacket, de rigueur for residents of Manhattan, she could project enough attitude to keep the creeps at bay. Or, she could pack her tank bag and overnighter as cunningly as a Chinese chess master, and use the facilities at the station house. She might even luck out and cop a ride with a patrol. That way, she'd have her bike in the morning when she went to work. Alrighty then, she decided. By motorcycle to the world. She took a shower, hair down, and spent a half hour drying it. She pulled out the cheap, motley patched leather overnighter she'd bought for $7 in Playa del Mar and cunningly packed it with her green Jill Sander. It really was wrinkle-proof, her green Louis Vuitton high steppers, a hairdryer that resembled a radar gun so much she'd used it to freak speeders, and her makeup kit. She'd ride clean and makeup at the station house. Last but not least, the little bottle of Hugo Red. She pinned her hair up and slapped a Yankees cap on top. One bag looped over her shoulder, gripping another in one hand and her helmet in the other, she made her way down the stairs, let herself out the back door, and ambled across Prospect Place. The newly installed and vigilant security cop waved to her. He looked like a native of Central America. Sarah hoped he at least spoke English. It was nearly 6 when she hit the Brooklyn Bridge, and traffic was light. The motor pool was jammed tight, but hers was the only bike. Of course. Sharp had told her he'd be working security tonight. Bernadette Goines was ending her shift as Sarah applied makeup in the women's locker restroom. She'd let her hair down and tied it loosely at the nape of her neck with a black velvet ribbon. Sarah wondered if other women's restrooms had condom machines. You like to start a riot the way you look, girlfriend, Goines told her, dabbing at her face with a piece of brown paper towel. Thanks, Bern. Rough night? John comes at me with a Swiss Army knife. Gonna put my brand on you, honey, he says, right before I clock him between the eyes with my little brass fran. She held up a set of brass knuckles that must have weighed a pound. Nice. Then some sheik wants me to join him and a few other select buddies on his yacht. But by then, the sun was coming up and I was not going down, no more, not today. I'm heading home, I'm catching some shut-eye, and then Waggles and me are heading upstate to a little B&B and some R&R. That cop from the 27th you've been dating? Uh-huh. So your little honey bunch in the dock the other day. Don't he look like a vanilla parfait? Where you off to, dolled up like that? The Hecht Center for the Performing Arts. Adrian's throwing a party to celebrate the sublime beauty of his Hechtness. Goines laughed, flashing white choppers. Really? What's the occasion? Getting the Hecht Center ready in time, I guess. And he might be announcing a new acquisition to his collection. Big deal, huh? What's he collect? Japanese swords. Goines closed her large black leather bag with a snap, tossed her processed curls. Well, why not? I knew a guy collected insects. Y'all have a swell time. You too, Bern.